Father, the church seems low this week. We've got first communions today. So please keep our second graders in your prayers as they prepare to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist for the first time today. It's a very important moment for all of them. You know, today's gospel, it's almost a little comical if you think about it, the scenario. So Peter's like, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to go fishing. And all the disciples are like, oh, that's a pretty good idea. Let's go fishing. And then they don't catch a thing, so they must have caught my skill at fishing, right? And then Christ tells them, cast the net over the other side, and they can't even reel it in, all the disciples. Meanwhile, Peter's jumped into the sea to go to the shore to see Jesus. And then finally, you know, Jesus tells Peter, bring some of the fish, and Peter's like single-handedly dragging this net in. It's quite the scene, if you think about it. And then Jesus says, come have breakfast. And in seminary, sometimes we talk about what we thought cool bishop mottos would be. We think come have breakfast would have been a really good one. It's like, now that's a guy I can follow right there. But it's quite the scenario in the gospel today. But I'd like to go to the first reading. When Peter and the apostles said in reply to the Sanhedrin, we must obey God rather than men. The first reading is a little frightening because it wouldn't seem so out of place if that played out in a modern courtroom. It doesn't seem that far-fetched that some unjust civil court in our own country would unreasonably demand a Christian to violate God's divine law or face the wrath of the state, because it's happening. Our society in which we live promotes a culture which demands for each and every one of us to bow down to the so-called authority of the state, so-called because it doesn't have the authority to do that. But it demands that we do that. And we as Christians cannot. We cannot do that. As Christians, we can never capitulate on our beliefs. We can never stop believing in God. In God the Father who created heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was born on Christmas, came to save us, and died on Good Friday, and rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. We as Catholics, as Christians, can never stop believing in the Holy Spirit, the power of God sent into the world to bring life. We can never stop believing in the power that prayer can have. We can never stop trusting in the mercy and the love of God. We must never capitulate on our belief that abortion is the direct killing of innocent children. It's a morally reprehensible act, which we are morally obligated to work to ending. We as Christians can never capitulate on our belief that euthanasia and assisted suicide are the direct killing of an innocent person, no matter what, whether they're elderly, suffering, whatever it might be. We can't support that because every single human life has value and dignity, because every single human being was made in the image and likeness of God. We can never stop believing that the handicapped, whether they are that way from their birth or the result of some terrible accident or whatever, are deserving of our love and our care and our respect. And in fact, so often, the people who encounter the handicapped regularly find that they bring out the best of their humanity and lead them to God just by being there. As Christians, we can never capitulate on the truth of marriage and sexuality, that God made us man and woman, and that he made marriage and he made it good, and that it is between one man and one woman. And we can never capitulate on the knowledge that the true expression of our sexuality is only found in marriage. Otherwise, the action is a lie. We can never capitulate on the call to love our neighbor as ourself, to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, and when we are persecuted, to turn the other cheek. We must hold fast on all of these and more, because to do otherwise would deny the truth and the reality of the faith which we profess and which we're about to profess in just a few minutes again with the Creed. Our beliefs matter. And because what we believe matters, we must live that belief in our daily life. We must let our belief guide what we do. And we must not be afraid of the consequences of living out our faith in action. It's good for us to hear what the Sanhedrin's reaction was when Peter made that provocative response that we must follow God and not men. Acts 5:33 says, "When they heard this, they became infuriated and wanted to put them to death." The apostles knew exactly the stakes of what they were saying to the Sanhedrin. Peter acknowledged this in his response when he said, "The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree." But what else could they do? What else could the apostles do? They tried going back to that former way of life. Fishing did not go so well for them, did it? But they were dejected that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the man whom they loved, was murdered by crucifixion by the Roman authorities in response to the bloodthirsty demands of a crowd whipped into a frenzy by this very same Sanhedrin that they're in front of now. But Jesus met Peter and the apostles on the shore, and he lifted them up out of their misery. He called them back to that mission that he gave them at the very beginning of their time together, to be fishers of men, to follow him. The apostles we hear today are finally coming to recognize what it means when Christ told them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The apostles knew that they must live the gospel they had learned from Jesus. They knew that they had to speak the truth to the unjust power of the Sanhedrin, even if it meant they were risking their lives, because they could do nothing but preach Christ and him crucified, as St. Paul teaches us. Because they knew that they were called to eternal glory with the worthy Lamb who we heard about in the book of Revelation today, the Lamb who was slain to save fallen humanity and who now rules over the entire universe from his throne of glory. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, calls us today to live the truth that God has proclaimed to us. Today, it's not just Peter who Jesus is asking, "Do you love me more than these?" Today, Jesus is also asking us that question. Do you love me more than these? We must put aside any person, profession, possession, way of life, or desire that comes between us and the love of Jesus Christ. We must bear witness to God, the God who has given us forgiveness and has shown us how to repent and turn back to him. We must, like the apostles, be willing to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. Because as Christians, we must obey God rather than men, and never stop teaching and proclaiming the Messiah, Jesus.